He's the man who talked the talk, then walked the walk. Joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line, David Justice, here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. I understand birthday wishes are also in store for you, Mr. Justice.
That's right. I'm 21 again today.
Well, everybody feels young when they look back at that World Series. And like I said, you set yourself up and then you backed it up. Take us through those 48 hours or so.
Oh, well, I mean, it was our third opportunity, right, to win a World Series. We had already lost two. So the pressure was mounting because we felt like there's no way we could lose another World Series. They were already calling us the Buffalo Bills of baseball, and that was the last thing that we wanted attached to us. And we had Tommy going that night, and we felt pretty good about Game 6 because, you know, we played really well at home. I always liked our chances at home. The whole situation, I think you're alluding to, was my comments that I made. And, I mean, listen, I'm the one who said it, but a lot of the guys felt it. It's just I'm the one who brought it to the forefront because, you know, we had just come out of Cleveland. And Cleveland had, I mean, it was an amazing atmosphere in Cleveland for Game 3, 4, and 5. And I got an opportunity to experience that once I was traded to Cleveland for practically 4 years. Their fan base was just, it was what we were in 1991. And we had come home, and I just felt like, you know, if our fans really got behind us, that would be the push that we needed. That's pretty much. And then also just the stress of, you know, once again, you know, we've got to win this World Series. And then Oral Hershiser was talking mess, and Omar Vizquel was talking mess. You guys don't remember that. And that year in 95, we had a lot of guys. I think it was their first year. I know it was Chipper's first full year. I think it was Klontz's first full year. We had a lot of young guys on our team.
That was Ryan and Javi, too.
I mean, we had a lot of young guys. And I felt like what kind of really started the spark was when Oral Hershiser made the comment about all the pressure was on the Braves and all that kind of talk. And I'm sitting there listening, and the media comes to me and tells me what Oral said. And I said some really disparaging things to Oral that I wanted them to take back to Oral to let him know that I didn't appreciate what he was trying to say about our team. And then Omar Vizquel had made a couple comments also, and I said some things about Omar. So what I was trying to do was, you know, put all of the talk on myself, me against Oral Hershiser and Omar Vizquel. Let that be the focus. And that's what that was my intent. And then I don't know how I got off into the fans, you know, feeling the pressure of, hey, if we don't win the World Series, I'll burn our houses down. I didn't really feel that way in my heart, even though I said it. And listen, I said it, I meant it, I felt it. But if you really read what I actually said, the headlines were way worse than what I actually said.
So I was thinking about this the other day, though, David. Do you realize that you single-handedly created sports talk radio in this town? I've been doing it. The format had been around for a little less than 2 years at that point. But I'm telling you, thinking about it, that was the day that sports talk format hit Atlanta because it was phone lines blinking the whole day. Some people saying, David, hey, I understand what he's saying. And other people going, forget about that guy. What's he done for us? And it was crazy because it really was the infancy of the format in this town, but that was the first big explosion of fan interaction that I remember in the history of Atlanta sports talk.
Well, you know, and I didn't expect that reaction, to be honest with you. But you have to understand, think about the pressure that I personally was under, being part of those previous two teams that had lost in a World Series. I'm at home in front of our Braves fans. And hearing yourself get booed in the introductions, hearing yourself get booed in your first at-bat in your home stadium, that's pretty tough. But if you don't know the story already, I literally remember being on one knee in the on-deck circle. And when they announced my name, I heard a few people cheering. And I remember saying to myself, okay, I'm going to play for those people tonight. And then I said, God, you have put me in a lot of tough situations, and you've always brought me out of them. Please bring me out of this situation. That's literally what I said to myself. And then when they announced my name, I got up, and I put a smile on my face, and I said, let's go play baseball. And for it to turn out the way it turned out, I don't think I could have written it any better, to tell you the truth. To hit the home run and to be the only run of the game in Fulton County Stadium and amongst all the Braves fans who did not want me to succeed that night. Yeah, they wanted us to win, but they did not want me to succeed. And to be able to do it, if you really could have read my thoughts when I hit home plate and you saw me put my fist together and I said, and I yelled, yeah, I had some really, really serious thoughts going in my head about what I was experiencing. But, hey, we won. It's a great moment in Atlanta Braves history, in Atlanta, Georgia history, the whole Southeast, because, you know, we had a lot. The whole Southeast was Atlanta Braves fans at that time. And we had so many fans across the country. I mean, I met a guy who was in France and said he saw me hit the home run in France. So that just tells you it was all over the world. And what a night. What a night. I'll never forget it, obviously, but I'll never forget everything else either.
David Justice with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker Line. We had a chance to do a Q&A, you and I, a couple of years back at Sports and Social. You came through town on a Saturday afternoon. And to say the fans still appreciate what you did during your time with the Braves would be a massive understatement. It's always got to be fun to come back to Atlanta for you, I would imagine.
Man, I love Atlanta. I'll always love Atlanta. That was the only team I ever wanted to play for, was the Atlanta Braves. I mean, people don't understand how much I cared about the Atlanta Braves, about our organization, about Atlanta and Georgia and the Southeast, my teammates. I mean, the Braves were my heart, and they will always be my heart, even though I played for three other teams. You know, I'm a Brave through and through. And so anytime I come back to Atlanta, it's just always a great feeling. The people really received me really well from the moment I touched down in the airport and people started recognizing me in the airport. It's just all love.
David, for people who don't know, if they actually have been on Facebook lately following you, you really have, and I'm not saying gone out of your way because I actually believe everything that you're writing. You must have been getting sentimental a little bit about some of these guys you play with in Atlanta because you've really gone out of your way to talk about some of these guys on Facebook.
Well, that's because I love those guys. I mean, I truly care about all of those guys. And they meant – we had a special group of guys. I mean, very special. And I don't know if we really realized it when we were all in our 20s and playing together. And because that was all we knew were each other. But you don't know until you go to other organizations how special the situation was that you left. And the fact that a lot of us played together in the minor leagues, our bonds were just tight, man. And they'll always be tight. Like, I mean, like, I'll always love Lemke. And I still feel bad that Ronnie Gant was not on that 95 World Series championship team. I mean, come on, man. Ronnie, when I think of the Braves and the turnaround of the organization, I think of my man Ronnie. And that'll always probably bother me, probably more than it bothers Ronnie, but it'll bother me because Ronnie was special to that organization, and hey, he didn't get a ring.
Big picture about your career. Look, you know, there are a bunch of guys who have World Series rings, but when you are a guy who had a special moment, a special October moment, we say it all the time, you become an all-star from April to September. You become legendary in October. The fact that you have, and by the way, you competed in more postseason, certainly after you left here in Atlanta, but the home run here is the one that I think people first think of. How incredible is it to think back that not only were you one of 20,000 ever, that's it, 20,000 ever to play professional baseball, but you actually live and have one of those moments that will be there forever?
I mean, it's just truly a blessing. I mean, it really is, especially for a kid like myself who I didn't even grow up a baseball player. I mean, I grew up a basketball player. Basketball was my first, second, and third love. I didn't even play high school baseball. I only played baseball in college. I went to college to play basketball. The only reason I played baseball in college was to get out of conditioning for basketball. I mean, that's a true story. Because they would make us run like 3 miles, and I just wasn't cut out for long distance running. And so I said, I'm just going to play baseball so I don't have to do this conditioning. And then I would join the basketball team once we got into the gym. I mean, the fact that I was drafted in baseball, I'm still the only guy to ever be drafted out of my college. Wasn't even had no intentions of playing baseball. And then to be drafted and then to make it all the way and then have the career that I had, having never one time in my life having a conversation with my mom about being a professional baseball player, ever. And my mom, you know, who you know, I was raised Catholic, went to Catholic school my whole life. My mom, you know, believed in God and Jesus Christ. And my mom just always told me, you know, that you're just a blessed kid. You know, God has really blessed you. And you know what I used to tell my mom when she'd say that? I said, no, Mama, God blessed you by giving me to you because you're such a wonderful mama.
When did you realize it is amazing because you said it yourself. You want to get out of conditioning. You're there to play basketball in college. When did you realize, hey, this baseball thing might work out for me?
Well, when I was drafted, honestly, because the way the Braves found me, I went to an NAIA school called Thomas More College. We were playing at Xavier University, and I had a monster day. We played at Xavier, and the Braves scout at the time was Hep Cronin, whose son is Mick Cronin, the head coach of UCLA basketball. And he was there looking at Xavier. And I hit two bombs that day. And at that time, you know, I'm already 6'3", about 195 pounds. I could run. I could throw. And he said he asked himself, who the heck is this kid? Because I just wasn't on the radar. But by the grace of God, that particular day, he just happened to be out there. He saw me. Long story short, Braves drafted me in the fourth round of 1985 drafts. And when I went to rookie ball, that's when I decided personally to start taking it seriously. But it wasn't up until that time. I mean, I was going to quit playing baseball in college because I had formed such a good relationship with our strength coach on the basketball team that I actually didn't have to do the running anymore, that conditioning part. The only reason why I played baseball that year is because my baseball teammates who are in the dorms with me basically forced me to play. They told me, you going to play baseball because you're not walking away from our baseball team.
I might have the dumbest question ever. Did you have to borrow a glove to even try out for your college baseball team?
No, because I always played summer league baseball. See, in Cincinnati, when you grew up in Cincinnati back in those days with the big red machine, Johnny Bench, who I just talked to yesterday, when you grew up at those times, everybody in Cincinnati played baseball. I played summer league baseball my whole life, but I only played because the coach would call me and ask me to play, and then he would come pick me up for practice in the games. If he wasn't doing any of that, I would have been out playing basketball in the summertime like I did all the other times.
David Justice with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Obviously, when you leave the Braves, you have a stellar career. You go to the World Series in 97 with the Indians. Is that something, the trade away from Atlanta, that you've ever gotten over?
Oh, yeah. I got over it. I mean, I got over it. As soon as I joined Cleveland, probably within the first week of being at Cleveland, I was over it. I mean, I was hurt, but life goes on. I mean, the Braves have moved on, so I got to move on myself. It just hurt me because I felt like I had been lied to by John Schroholtz. Now, I love John today. We have a great relationship. We've gotten past that. But at that time, John had looked me in my face and told me, I bet my family and my house that you will not be traded. He said that to me. And 1 week later, I was traded. So I was hurt by that. And like I told you, I always wanted to be a Brave. So I really was hurt to my soul. But I had to move on. I mean, I still had a lot of years left to be productive. And I just knew it was just going to be in a different uniform. And that's how I looked at it.
Tell me something about that. We were joking. We've spoken to everybody and obviously covering that team that year. Is there anything about that playoffs, that team, you in particular? You know, I told the story earlier today. Bucky Dent, it wasn't his bat when he hit his home run against the Red Sox. Carlton Fisk, it wasn't his bat in the 75 World Series. Jim Leyritz, when he bombed the Braves in 96, it wasn't his bat and he was out all night. Is there something that we don't know? Is there anything left that we don't know about that postseason? Big picture, or you in particular?
You know, one thing about that team is I felt like that was the best team that we had assembled, where I really felt like we had no weaknesses. I mean, when we got Mike Devereaux and Luis Polonia, and then the young pitchers, I mean, Pedro Borbón coming in and being lights out. I can't remember if it was game four or five. No, we lost game five. Game four, maybe. When I just look back, I look back at and then, you know, even in the playoffs that year when Mordecai had the big hit against Colorado, I just think about it's easy to look at Glavin, Smoltz, Maddox, me, all the big-name guys on the team, but I always look back at the contributions of the other guys who came through when we needed them, that even solidified the closeness of our team even more, because every guy on that team could look in the mirror and really feel like they had done something in those playoffs to make us win. And there's no better feeling when everyone can share in that sentiment, you know, that they meant something to the team and they added to the team and we all did it together. I can't think of any special moments. It wouldn't be in the World Series. The special moments would be like against the Reds. When in September we played the Reds and I came in there and I said, fellas, anybody that's going to the World Series got to come through at ATL. We got to send a message to the Cincinnati Reds that if they have any thoughts of playing the World Series, this is what it's going to look like. I want a 10-run rule. We got to whoop their butt. And we swept them in September. And then we come back in the NLCS. And I remember walking in and saying, fellas, I told y'all, we back again. Now let's whoop their butt again. And we swept them again. That, I will never forget that. Because I was talking a whole lot of junk in that series.
Were you aware in 91, the whole Kirby Puckett story? You know, he goes deep and he says, fellas, jump on. I got this. I don't know if there's a conscious or subconscious when you hear about other players having an ability to walk in a room like you said you did in Cincinnati to say, hey, I got a message. And this one, whatever it is I've said before, I'm telling you, this one, I've never meant anything more like
that
this.
That one ball you hit off Rob Dibble, I don't think it's landed yet.
Oh, my God. I still remember that at bat like it was yesterday. Deion was on second. We were down by one. And all I was thinking was Rob Dibble always throws me a first-pitch fastball away. Always. So I'm just going to stay away, and I'm going to think about hitting this ball up the middle. Because if I get it up the middle, you know, you're not going to score. You're not going to throw Deion out at home. And we'll tie the game, and that's exactly what I was thinking. And, boy, he didn't hit the outside corner. He threw it right down the middle. And when I hit that, man, I get chills right now thinking about that one. But I forgot your question. What was your question?
No, just the whole idea of saying jump on, boys. You know?
Yeah, well, listen. You know how people say, oh, I like to lead by example, right? And I've never been a person who thought lead by example in terms of never being vocal. I believe that we all, as professional athletes, should lead by example, meaning we should all show up early. We should all work hard. We should all, you know, have our mind totally focused on the game and play hard. And that's the way the Braves taught us how to play in the minor leagues. That's leading by example. But I didn't want to be that kind of guy. I wanted to be the guy – well, take that back. I wanted to be the guy to be that guy, but I also want to make everybody around me better. So if I can encourage Lemke or Gant or McGriff or, you know, Smoltz, if I can say something that can help them and be that voice on the team, or even or be the one who takes the criticism. If I can put all of the criticism on me, all the focus on me, and let them relax and just focus on the game, then that's what I want to do. Because I can handle it. I can handle the people talking junk to me. I can handle the criticism. I'm just made for that. Not a lot of guys want to be up there with the game on the line. That's when I only want to be up there. I'm the worst player in baseball. We're winning 10-0. I'm going to go 0-4. I know it because I never played the game for stats. I didn't. So if we went in 10-0, well, we got this game. So my at-bats really don't mean nothing. So I might be focused, but I'm not as focused as I am if it's 2-2 in the eighth inning and you need a big hit off of me. I'm a totally different player then. But in the clubhouse, and you got to ask the guys because they would tell you, you know, I'm definitely one of the biggest motivators on every team I've played for. Every team. You know, I'm always talking, joking, keeping us focused, keeping our minds on what we need to do. That's just the way I played my whole career. But I've been like that since I was in high school. So, and in the process of doing all that, I may say something that's going to rub people the wrong way. I'm not trying to. I'm just saying how I feel. I'm an emotional guy. That's who I am. And when you're that kind of guy, sometimes people are not going to like what you say. And there's other people that are going to love what you say. But I'm just being emotional at the time. And you know how people say, man, I will never take back anything I've ever said. No, I don't agree with that. There are things I would take back. No question. I probably would take back or maybe say it in a different way. The things that I said that particular day, I probably would take that back because I wouldn't want any player to go through what I had to go through leading up to game six in such an impactful game that we needed because nobody wanted game seven. I would take that back, but hey, it was what it was, and thank God he brought me out of it.
Well, it's the biggest moment in Atlanta sports history, and you own it. David Justice, thanks for coming on. Always a pleasure.
Hey, anytime, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, David. Happy birthday.
Okay, thanks a lot.
David Justice on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line here on The Fan.